The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome you to the final hour. It's been a busy show, so a lot of conversation about what's been happening in Knoxville today with a new athletic director hire. We'll continue that conversation, and let us also continue with your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Let's begin in Knoxville, and Josh is up first. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so first-time caller, and real quick, you know, I went to the University of Tennessee. I will never forget the first time I met you. You were there for SEC game day. We were playing Alabama. I looked at you. I said, "Do we stand a chance?" You said, "No shot." And lo and behold, we didn't stand a chance. You know, I've been listening a lot about the AD hire. You know, you may have touched on this earlier, but I'd just like to get your insight. Who do you think would be some under-the-radar names that we should consider, or the new AD should really consider when undertaking this search? I've heard of Leopold from Buffalo maybe be someone interesting.
Well, I was told today by someone who knows him a lot better than I do that you need to look to his past to try to predict his future, and Leopold is one of his better hires. You know, the Scott Frost hire, clearly that's not going to happen, but he got someone who's a little bit off the radar screen at the time. We just got through talking to Nate Oates, and I mean, not many people knew Nate Oates outside of the basketball cognoscenti, and I don't think he's going to bring in a big name. A Hugh Freeze I don't think is in the running. I don't think some of these pro names that are popping up, I think he'll hire a Jamie Chadwell type of coach, someone that he feels comfortable with but also believes will be a fit for the long haul. I don't think he wants to hire a coach and then be hiring another coach in 2 years.
Yeah, Paul, I couldn't agree more. You know, I like to consider myself a little bit more realistic than the average fan. I just want to get back to that 8-4, 9-3 top window. I think if we can get there, then we can really start competing. So if we can get that door open, and I'll be truthful, I thought Jeremy Pruitt would get us there, but you know.
Hey, by the way, I did too, because you know he had great credentials, and I will tell you, there were people at Alabama quietly talking about Jeremy Pruitt as a replacement for Saban. I mean, the comments on Jeremy Pruitt, the problem with Jeremy Pruitt is he never changed. He didn't learn from his mistakes, and he dug a deeper hole, which is always a bad characteristic.
Yeah, for sure. But anyway, Paul, I won't take up any more of your time. I really appreciate talking to you, okay?
Hey, thank you very much. Great to talk to you, Josh, and hope we meet again when this COVID goes away for good. Jerry is up next in Georgia. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Paul, just two quick questions for you. Has anybody heard from Coach Stallings? I heard that he was put in the hospital this weekend after a heart attack. And the other is I think Chadwick is the man that needs a job at Tennessee. That's it. Talk to you.
Yeah, I agree with you on Chadwell. As far as Coach Stallings, I did not know that. So we will certainly double check and see if we can get some information. We just talked to him a couple weeks ago. Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate the information. Let's check in with Matt, who is up next. Hey, Matt.
How you doing today, my friend? I want to first thank you for the appreciation and kindness you show me and for everybody on this show for getting us through this season, Paul, this COVID season. Paul, you are the man of Sports Talk Radio, and I wanted to thank you and the kindness you've shown to people like me, Paul.
Well, Matt, thank you for saying that, we appreciate you being a part of the show, always.
Well, thank you, Paul. But I want to tell you about Texas A&M basketball and football. Paul, I think Buzz Williams is going to have a really good this year in basketball because he's a heck of a coach. I think he's turning around this basketball program. I think he's poised to have a good year this year, and so is Jimbo Fisher in his fourth year because he's bringing in a really good recruiting class. Yes, the quarterback battle is going to be really interesting. I think this in the football season 2021, I think they could do even better than 9-1. And I wanted your thoughts on that, Paul.
Yeah, I need to take a good look at the schedule. That's always critical, and you know, I do know he has Alabama at home, so I think that is probably the best news of all the news that you could say. Who is the non-conference game? Do you know, Matt?
The non-conference game is Colorado.
Okay.
Kent State. And then the second one is some team I can't even pronounce their name.
Yeah, well, that's a good start. I mean, you would rather play Colorado than Clemson, which happened a couple of years ago. Hey, thank you very much for the call. You be well. Greg is up next. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today, sir?
We are really, really well. Thank you for the call.
First-time caller. I have a question that maybe you could help me understand here. Tennessee supposedly admonished Philip Fulmer before the NCAA investigation was complete. They pretty much, in my opinion, threw Jeremy Pruitt under the bus. And as I'm sure you remember, everybody in the past related the secret witness for the case against Alabama to Philip Fulmer at the University of Tennessee. So what's your opinion on why they would admonish him before, or let him retire prior to the investigation by the NCAA being complete?
Yeah, well, what you said about the past is correct. I mean, we spent years on this program talking about Philip Fulmer's role in the Albert Means investigation. That was 20 years ago. The reason why they moved on from him is they did not want him hiring the next coach. They wanted him out. And the only way to get him out was to offer him a retirement package, which they did, and he accepted.
Oh, okay. I can understand that on his behalf. But would it be possible for the NCAA to bring him back into the investigation should they find something?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is just based on preliminary information, but I don't think Philip Fulmer's role in this will be significant. Yeah, he was in charge, but if he had any culpability, I don't think they would have agreed to pay him off. They may have just fired him in spite of his reputation. His reputation didn't stop him from getting fired in 2008. Hey, thank you very, very much. Appreciate the call. William is up next in Maryville.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are great, William. How are you?
Well, you know, I don't want to beat the dead horse to death, but I want to make a couple comments in part about what you just said. You know, there've been some headlines that Chancellor Plowman and President Boyd have in effect created these infractions to avoid paying Jeremy Pruitt. Here are the facts. You know, the infractions are there whether the university fires Pruitt, pays Pruitt, extends his contract, or, you know, anoints him as the next greatest head coach in America. The infractions are there. If this was part of some sort of a cabal to get rid of Jeremy Pruitt, then number one, I don't think that this would have been leaked before the A&M game and thereby forcing Eric Gray to sit out. I don't think that Shelton Fulton would have been fired on Monday of this week after the Plum Big Cat, the defensive end from Auburn who played for him in high school, announced, I think on Saturday, he was coming to Tennessee, which he is now, you know, decommitted from. And I don't think it would have been announced before signing day, because what would have happened would be, okay, let's get through signing, let's get through what players we can get in, and then we'll deal with this mess later. So, I mean, these infractions are there, but people, I saw a headline that said something like, you know, as if this was all made up to fire Jeremy Pruitt. And I don't believe that, because they don't go away. Now, number two, I would urge the transfers, especially guys like Henry Toitoa, who has been a class act since day one, to take a deep breath and see what Danny White can do as far as a coach and a coaching staff, because the grass isn't always greener. And you might want to just stick around for a little while and see what happens. But number three, I want to address Phil Fulmer. If he truly loves the University of Tennessee, he needs to take his vested retirement, his Social Security, his gold watch, and walk away. Because I will tell you, Paul, there are some people in this community that are as aggravated about this buyout of his retirement.
People
are tired of the. Well, I think they're aggravated because, number one, I think the news Sentinel today said something. Why wasn't he fired for cause? But if he truly retired, he's not entitled to the benefits of his 3-year contract, which was extended under very interesting situation and interesting circumstances. And I think people in this community, and I've talked to some of them, are aggravated that the university continues to pay people, former employees, get huge money, such as Butch Jones, for not working. And I believe if you retire, you take what's vested and you walk away. You don't take $37,500 a month for 3 years.
Yeah, I agree. Clearly he was pushed out. You and I know that.
We know that.
Philip Fulmer would have done anything possible to hang on and make the next hire.
You're exactly right.
Because it's a mulligan. He would have given him a chance to right the wrong. And let's not forget, for those who don't know the history, you can just tune out for a second, William. Philip Fulmer was fired in 08. There was some debate about it. And he came up again. I can't remember what year it was, 2016, for the AD's job. And he was passed over, and it was given to John Curry, which created a lot of friction. And then he got it again when the cabal overthrew Curry. So this was a payback. This was a do-over. And the one thing that I don't think anybody really thought would happen would be it would turn out to be a disaster. And guess what?
It's a disaster.
Yeah.
But I think...
If I had told you on December 5th, what was it, 2017, on the day that all this happened, that on January 18th, 2021, that the program would be in worse shape, I don't think even you, being a cynic, would have believed me.
Well, I mean, I wrote him a letter, and it was in regard to Butch Jones, but I wrote him a letter, and I said, I'm glad you're there, because I thought he was a good interim solution to calm the waters and bring people together. I did not know that he was coming in hopes of getting long-term contracts of $1 million a year, because I didn't see him as a permanent professional athletic director. And, you know, we've had this conversation before.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to believe in him because I know how important he is to the Tennessee people. And I think I'm as guilty as anyone, William. I felt like his presence would make up for perhaps his incompetence as an administrator. And I was wrong.
Well, you know, Paul, I understand that. I just think that I think he's got more culpability or more responsibility because he was the athletic director than maybe people want to ascribe to him. I mean, the New Sentinel headlines today, and I didn't read it, were why wasn't Philip Fulmer fired for cause?
Really?
I don't know what the article says because I don't get the New Sentinel. But I don't know the answer to that. But there are some people. I mean, I got a text last night from a very prominent, not only advertiser, but booster, that said, you need to write President Boyd and Donde Plowman about this.
Well, I have heard, and you're much closer than I am, but I know a number, maybe not a number, but I know some UT people that are just done. They don't care who the athletic director is. They don't care who the head football coach is. They are taking a break.
I can't blame them. We've had so much dysfunction that, you know, sometimes you just have to take a break, Paul. But I do think that Danny White seems to be in the right direction.
Well, he comes from a category of athletic directors. He is well thought of, but I'm not being cynical here, Bill, William. But I've seen a lot of these type of ADs come into very tough situations, and they just don't get, they're not given a chance.
Well, I think
by the way, John Curry had a great reputation too.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Well, of course, he's ended up at Wake Forest. And I believe he did go to Wake Forest.
Yeah.
It's a great school, but it's a much different place, because I went to Wake Forest Law School, and it's a great school.
Oh, it is.
But it's not Tennessee.
No, it's
not
a very
Tennessee
small, clubby town. And, thanks for the call. Always enjoy it. We'll take a break. More to come. Your phone call is at 855-242-7285, right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hey, welcome you back. And Sandy is up next in Tennessee. Hey, Sandy.
Hey, how you doing, Paul? First time caller.
Thank you. Great to have you on.
Yeah, nice to reach you. If you're still a true UT fan, gosh, what old Williams said, you still love them even with the last 12 years. You're evolved for life. Now, I'd like to talk about something nobody's talking about. That's the facilities at UT. I toured all those facilities 4 years ago. And then I read an article after that, a national article that said we were ranked number 4 with facilities then. Oregon was number 1. And, oh, yeah, and say with the $4 million project that's going on now, that we might be ranked number 1. But regardless of all that, my son, who does a whole lot with UT, said the only facilities better than ours were probably Texas A&M. And I asked him why. He said, well, there's 51 billionaires out there. So we've only got one or two. And my last one I'd like you to respond to is wear the bubble helmets in practice. If that's so important to keep those concussions out, why don't you wear them in a game?
It's a great idea. Hey, thank you. By the way, you are right. And Tennessee's facilities are fantastic. I mean, right now, if you don't have superior facilities, you're not going to succeed. South Carolina just opened up a state-of-the-art training facility about a year and a half ago. Has it helped them? Everyone has these. Some schools have been a little bit slow to make the turn. Georgia has one, a brand new practice facility. That's really where the action is. It's where the players spend the most amount of time. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Chris is in Louisiana. Hey, Chris, you are on the air.
Hey, Paul, this is Chris from West Monroe, and I was just calling to tell you that I loved your interview with Terry Bowden.
Being
from West Monroe, I'm a graduate of ULM, and I just wanted to tell you a story about Terry, if
sure.
I could.
Absolutely.
Years ago, when he was at Auburn, it was either his first or second year, Auburn had scheduled ULM to come play him. And in the fourth quarter, ULM was winning. And then in the last minute, ULM was winning. Well, on the last play of the game, Auburn pulled it out and scored a touchdown and won the game.
Oh, my.
Well,
I forgot that.
You know, they were a top 10 team. And, you know, Terry's going into the press conference. And you know that he's like David in the Lions Den because, you know, to come ULM to come that close to beating them, you know, that may drop them down some. And so it's going to be a tough press conference. Well, he walks in and he's laughing. And he comes up there and says, "What a great game." And, you know, people are looking at him. And he says, "I just want to say this is the greatest victory in Auburn's history." And I'm sitting there, Paul, and I'm saying, the greatest victory in their history. And then somebody asking, Terry, the greatest game in Auburn's history. He says, "That's right, because if we would have lost, it would have been the worst defeat in our history."
That is funny.
And everybody started laughing, and it just only a Bowden could pull that off. It turned a negative press conference into, you know, something that he could deal with. And so and Paul, I wanted to say, I said your interview with him. I don't know if you'd call that an interview. I think you said, "How you doing, Terry?" And then the next thing I know, he tells you everything, and you're saying, "Well, nice talking to you, Terry."
Well, you know, I've known him since he coached at Samford, and I knew him very well, obviously, at Auburn. And he could drive some coaches crazy. I'll tell you a quick story. He was one of the few coaches that really got under the skin of Steve Spurrier. And I think Auburn was like number three or four in the country, and Florida was number one in 1994. And they went down there to play, and Auburn ended up upsetting Florida. Typical Spurrier, and I say this as a fan. But he was ahead in the game, and he couldn't be content to run the clock out. He got to keep passing. He threw an interception, and Auburn won at the end. And when Coach Spurrier found out that Bobby Bowden had called Terry at halftime and gave him a play, it drove him off the deep end. But yeah, you know, Bowden beat Spurrier, I believe, the first two times they met.
Wow. Well, we're so happy to have him here at ULM. I tell you what, Paul, I mean, I know he's a lot older now, but he's still a ball of energy.
Oh,
I
he's
mean,
amazing.
He has so much enthusiasm.
He's lost a lot of weight. He looks really good. And I was talking to Tim Brando, another ULM graduate, and, you know, told me when, you know, I don't know too many of the other people, but, you know, Rich Rodriguez is on this staff, but he said it's an amazing staff, as you probably know more than I do. But I appreciate that very much. You be well. Hunter is up next in Tennessee. Hey, Hunter.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing well. We're really well. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I got a quick question for you to see if you had heard anything about this. So I was reading on Twitter today, and I was listening to Tony Basilio, which, you know, is a radio host out of Knoxville.
Oh, sure.
And he quoted and said this today, that when Pruitt was fired, and I don't know if this is just, you know, a fan trying to make something up, or if this is see what you think about it and see if you heard anything. So when Pruitt was fired, Lane Kiffin sent two texts to two prominent boosters at Tennessee and told them, "I'm ready to come home."
It's funny because when I heard the news, I sent a text to Kiffin saying, "Are you almost the same thing?" And he laughed. He may have done it. You know, he tried to get that job the last time around, if you remember. I was on ESPN on a program talking about him, and he came on right after me, and he would have taken it then. I don't think it came. I think he was kidding. I'm not trying to put down the story, but I have no doubt that Kiffin did it. Whether he was serious or not, I think, is the question.
Right. I just want to get your thoughts on it, because when I saw it, you know, you look on Twitter and
did Basilio think it was legit?
He seemed to think it was legit.
Well, I haven't talked to Tony in a long time, but he has a pretty good – I mean, I think it's possible that you know, Lane being a kidder did that, and maybe he was remember, he named his son Knox, so – it was a pretty special place for him. It ended badly, and I always felt he did not entirely deserve the vitriol that he received. But he was young. He was arrogant. You know, he had Ogeron on his staff, and Not only did they leave, they ripped Tennessee off for some players. They left Tennessee's program in a really bad situation. It was understandable that the angst would go on, but thankfully it's all gone now.
Would that be something you think Tennessee might do with Danny White? Would
no.
be to go that route, or do you
I
think
don't.
That would be kind of something that would
yeah.
be out of the question?
I think Danny White will hire an up-and-coming coach. To me, that fits his resume in the past. Now, that doesn't mean he couldn't alter it, but I really believe that he is thinking more in terms of young, aspiring, ascending coaches. Hey, thank you very much for the call. We're up against a break. Much more to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Welcome back, and Alabama has made the hiring of Bill O'Brien official, the former Texans head coach, former Penn State head coach. He is now the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach under Nick Saban. Let's get back to the calls, and Gary is in Tennessee. Hey, Gary.
How you doing, Paul?
Gary, we are doing well. Thank you.
I just wonder what Johnny Majors is thinking about all this. Bless his heart.
Yeah, I doubt Coach would be impressed. Would you? What do you think?
Well, me and you are about the same age, and we grew up with Tennessee football, and we know what it's about. And these new coaches and stuff, I don't think they grasp what it means to the fan base. And I'm really mad at the fan base because you can't do nothing without them getting on social media and cutting them down and making them afraid of doing this and that, you know. I'm really mad at them.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to somebody in Knoxville yesterday, Gary, and Butch Jones couldn't deal with it. Jeremy Pruitt couldn't deal with it. Tennessee is a tougher job than you think because unlike Alabama where everybody is all in, other schools like that. Tennessee, whether it's the media or the fans, they've been all over the map for a considerably long period of time. And, you know, some of it's understandable, but it does make the job more difficult.
Well, you know, when you get – I don't live too far from where Tim Priest was raised in Huntington.
Right.
And it's just – I couldn't put up with it. You couldn't put up with it. And I wouldn't want the job. Just because of that.
Well, what it's going to take is sustained success, and sadly, the program has not had success in a long period of time.
Well, you can't do it in 3 years, and the fans won't get off of coaches' butts that long to let them build a team up. Now, I like Jeremy. I thought he was doing right, but I guess he wasn't looking behind him, which he should have been.
Yeah, no, I thought a year ago he had a chance to get it done, and you know, it doesn't matter. We all know what happened, but I really did believe that he had the program on the right track.
I don't know this guy that they hired for the AD. What can you say about him?
I'll give you a little bit of background. I think he went to Notre Dame. He's the son of Kevin White, who was the Notre Dame athletic director, and now he's been at Duke the last number of years. Highly respected. His brother is the head basketball coach at Florida. And he worked at Ole Miss for a couple of years. He went to Buffalo, where he made a lot of really good decisions. And then he got the Central Florida job and hired Scott Frost. And, you know, they have been very successful down there building a program.
Well, all I want is, before my time is gone, I just want us to be good again. I don't expect no national championship.
The Chancellor, Chancellor Plowman and President Boyd went down, and I think Compton, the head of the Board of Trustees, went down to see him yesterday, and they came away believing that he really wanted to be the coach and the AD, and that's what you want. You just don't want somebody to take the job because it looks good on your resume as you're trying to get a bigger job. Thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Jack is in Virginia. Hey, Jack.
Jack. Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Jack, we are doing well. Thank you very much.
Couple thoughts. Phil Fulmer had his Junction Boys moment at Tennessee, and he failed. Is one, and then the other thing is one of the things I haven't heard anybody talk about was what are the repercussions for the guys who ate the Happy Meals and took the tip.
Well, let me make it clear on that. I know that story is out there and it's being propagated, but I don't know whether it's true or not. And ultimately, if you find out that there is some culpability for a player to take something, it makes it they can end up prohibiting that player from playing at the school. They can force him to go elsewhere. There are all kinds of different things that can happen, but. I'm not being Pollyanna here. I don't know if that's true or not.
Right. I just thought, the fish stinks from the head to the tail, and this whole thing stinks.
It does, and that's where Philip Fulmer cannot scrape it away. And I'm sad. I think any reasonable person would be sad. You come back out of retirement. You're in a position to enact and affect change at your alma mater, where you are one of the most beloved figures, and it ends in disgrace. So someone asked me earlier today, how do I think Philip Fulmer will be remembered? I think he'll be remembered very well, but it will take some time to get to that point.
We
forget why people leave schools. I've covered the good and the bad. And historians point out situations like we are currently in at Tennessee, but Philip Fulmer, regardless of the last couple of weeks, still has earned his place in Tennessee folklore.
Well, he'll have to deal with it. I think Tennessee, like I said, I think it was a Junction Boys moment that was failed. You've got the same kind of stuff going on at Auburn, where alumni can't keep their hands out of the pie. And Bear Bryant had to go down to Junction to turn Texas A&M around. And I'm an Alabama guy. And I get a lot of information from the Raider in Decatur, who stays up on all this stuff. I'm in Virginia. I'm from Virginia, though.
Well, thank you very, very much for the call. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.